Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. And as Simone just said, we are joined by our guy, Chris Biederman, Candlestick Chronicles, Sacramento Bee. Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys?
We're good. Chris, look, the most important question here today is, what is the cutoff age for trick-or-treating?
Oh, man. 12? 11?
Like,
if you're Chris.
If you're in high school, like, because this happened to me last year, it was like, you know, you see a bunch of cute little kids and that's all fine. And then you see a bunch of kids who, like, stole a hat from their parents or something and just walking around to get free candy. It's like, come on, man.
All right.
I agree. I very, very much agree.
I said 15 sophomore year, but I hear you. If you're dedicated, I think that matters too, but I hear you. All right, Chris, trade deadline, 1 p.m. We've heard a ridiculous amount of names from Devontae Adams to Derrick Henry. Are the Niners going to do anything or are they going to stand pat?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think they're going to be active for sure. This is a team that's been extremely active at the trade deadline since John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have taken over. Jalen Johnson, the cornerback from the Chicago Bears, would seem to make a lot of sense. And he was somebody that they seemed to be interested before the draft when he came out a few years ago. Maybe an edge rusher. I just don't know. Look, like, we came into the season believing this team was one of the most talented in the league and had one of the most complete rosters in football. They added Randy Gregory. He hasn't made a huge difference. Actually, they're winless since adding him, oddly enough. That's not a Randy Gregory stat. It's just sort of a weird point. But Jalen Johnson would make sense, but to me, I think this roster is good enough. I think the improvement has to come internally and just the team has to play better because I think they absolutely have the talent and it's going to be tough for them to add contracts because, as I told you guys last week, like the salary cap stuff, they need to roll over all the cap space that they have this year into next year just to afford all of their guys that they have under contract next year. And if they do bring in an expensive player who does need a new contract, then you're looking at potentially losing guys and maybe, you know, somebody like Eric Armstead or, you know, one of your other high priced veterans has to move if you do add another big contract at the deadline. So, I think I could definitely see them being aggressive because they have before. But if they're not super aggressive, I think they could still fall back on the fact that they do have a talented roster and that the fix is more likely just playing better and playing up to their expectation and their level that they set for themselves rather than relying on somebody to give them a boost.
Chris, I'm just curious in general, like, and it's not just a football conversation. We talk about it with the Kings as well. You know, in sports, you can either kind of make a decision when you're adding people to either lean in more so into your strengths, so like the Kings can get more shooting, or you can try and address some of the things you're bad at, i.e., you know, rim protection or whatever it may be. In the 49ers case, it might be DBs. Where do you fall kind of in that philosophy of should the Niners, more focused on the Niners sense, should they be looking at trying to bolster D-line where it already feels like they're great, bolster the receiving room. Derrick Henry talks as well. Like, do you think that you should focus more on what you're good at and lean into it, or should you try and, patch up some of the bigger holes in your lineup?
Yeah, I think keeping your strength is probably the smartest way to go because the 49ers are designed, like when we talk about defensive line, right? Like they've doubled down on their defensive line over and over again in terms of adding talent there because if there's any attrition, you still want your defensive line to be your strength because they're built front to back defensively and everything they do defensively is predicated on pressuring the quarterback. And so if you were to, you know, maybe even out your resources in terms of how you allocate them, then, you know, if you do deal with an injury or two along your defensive line, well, that strength is no longer a strength. Right. And then you have to change the way you play. So for the 49ers, in my opinion, I think they, you know, if they can get a pass rusher, somebody who can come in and make a difference at a reasonable price, I would absolutely consider it. But again, like, you know, that's a very premium position and they did already add Randy Gregory. And frankly, their defensive line should be good enough to where they don't have to add somebody else at this point. But in terms of philosophically, like I tend to, like, if you've defined some clear strengths on your team, no matter what the sport is, making sure that that strength is always your strength as the season goes along, if you deal with injuries or whatever can happen, I think that's really important. And then you could find ways to sort of patch together improvements in other areas. Like, I think the 49ers could potentially, you know, maybe they get a Dory Jackson or Jalen Johnson or somebody like that. And it's not super cost prohibitive. I think Johnson probably would cost a decent amount, but you can do that and patch together a way to solve your weaknesses rather than taking away from your strength in that sense.
Talking to Chris Biederman, Candlestick Chronicles and the Sacramento Bee. Chris, Steve Wilks has been under a lot of fire lately, right? And from not being in the booth to the amount of blitzes, how much blame do you think he should be getting when you have somebody like Fred Warner saying, hey, we got to tackle these guys? It's not all on Coach Wilks, but how much would you say the defensive struggles have been on Coach Wilks?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I think you can make a case, I think particularly Sunday against the Bengals, that it just didn't feel like there was the same level of intensity that the defense typically has, right? Like, one thing that Robert Saleh and D'Amico Ryans did, they both did this, was, you know, during film sessions during the week, they would track loafs, what they called as loafs. And they would basically call players out and hold them accountable in the meeting room. And it was, you know, basically unacceptable. Like, the worst thing you could do as a defender on the team was have any sort of loafs in the film room. And it just feels like there isn't that same level of intensity right now with the defense. And I don't know if that speaks to the level of buy-in that they have from Steve Wilks. I don't know if it speaks to there not being that level of accountability that the previous defensive coordinators had. But I think that there's just, I don't know, like, if you were to tell me that the defense wasn't buying into the scheme and they didn't have a whole lot of confidence in the scheme, I think that sort of showed up on Sunday. At least that's like, you could convince me of that, right? Like, I'm not in there. I'm not in the locker room. I'm not in the meeting. So I'm not going to pretend to know like exactly what's happening, but it just doesn't look like the 49ers defense are buying in and playing with that same level of intensity. And, you know, like, you can kind of tell, I thought in the press conference last week when Steve Wilks came out and apologized for the zero blitz call at the end of the second quarter against the Vikings, it was kind of weird, right? Like, it was like melodramatic and like a little bit unnecessary. And like, I don't know, like, you can, like, I think there's similarities in press conference settings and team meetings in that, like, you're speaking in front of people, right? And you have to exude confidence, right? And people who are listening to you need to believe in what you're saying. And from that standpoint, it was like, man, do the 49ers, like, are they buying into what this guy is selling them? And that was a question I had after the press conference. And then seeing the product on the field on Sunday, it was just like, man, these guys are like missing tackles. Kyle Shanahan said the defense was slow and tired, which is never something we've heard about this defense in the last few years, yeah. Right? They just always play hard. And so the fact that they, you know, they're quote unquote slow and tired, according to the head coach, and you do have all these other question marks revolving Steve Wilks, like, my antenna's up. Like, to me, it feels like something could be amiss there. And as good as the 49ers have been at hiring, you know, assistant coaches over the years, you wonder if at some point they're going to hire a lemon. And like, I think our radars have to be up at this point, given how much talent they have and given the general lack of production over the last 3 weeks.
Right. Niners heading into the bye this week. They come out of the bye with continuing to have a pretty tough schedule, have Jacksonville, and then have to finally play the Seahawks and then the Eagles as well, the much anticipated Eagles matchup in week 13. What do you think about those challenges that are ahead for the Niners, and what are you hoping to learn or see, or even what do you hope to see them be challenged on in those upcoming tough matchups?
Yeah, one thing that was interesting about the offseason and the schedule release, I forget the name is eluding me, but someone took a deep dive into schedule rest, right? And the schedule rest disadvantage that teams have. And, you know, the 49ers played the Browns, who were coming off a bye. They played the Bengals, who were coming off a bye. And obviously them coming off a bye and the 49ers having a short week is you know, a pretty substantial disadvantage when it comes to rest days leading into that game, right? And I'm not making excuses for the 49ers, but it's interesting that they had those two teams coming off byes, and then when they come off their bye, they're playing the Jaguars, who are coming off their bye. So the 49ers don't even get the advantage on the flip side of their bye week. So it's a challenging thing for them, but look, there are no excuses in the league. Like, everybody in the NFL has crazy schedule things happen. The 49ers don't have to go to Europe like some of these teams, right? Like, they don't have to, you know, they everybody in the NFL has a tough schedule. Everybody plays 17 games. Everybody deals with injuries. So it's really just going to be about resiliency. Like, how resilient is this group? And I think in the past few years, you look at their starts. I think they're 3-4 last year, 3-5 the year before. And they've made it to the NFC Championship game in each of those seasons. So this team is resilient. And it's proven that it can bounce back. But a three-game losing streak to teams that they should have beaten or that they should be, consider themselves better than, is a little bit alarming at this point. So can they bounce back against a good team in Jacksonville on the road, coming off their byes, is going to be really telling. And I think these next few weeks, to your point, Chris, is like, you know, how they bounce back and how they play over these next few weeks is going to go a long way towards determining the fate of this team this season, because it came in with Super Bowl expectations and they should be able to bounce back from this adversity because they've done it before.
Chris, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for the info, my guy. We will talk to you next week and I will have some questions, because it's a bye.
Right.
We can ask even more questions, because I need to ask your opinion on Nick Bosa. But thank you so much. That is Chris Biederman. Let's talk soon, man.
Yep, absolutely. If I see any 15-year-olds at trick-or-treating, I'm going to tell them to kick rocks for you.
Thank you.
Man, appreciate it. Come on, man. Come on. You. That's Chris Biederman, Candlestick Chronicles, and the Sacramento Bee. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we're talking Kings. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sactown Sports.
Great stuff from Chris Biederman. Oh, yeah. As always, Styles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. Thank you for listening to our fourth official show this beautiful Halloween day. On the text line 707, eighth grade should be the cutoff for trick-or-treating.
That's what I'm saying.
Dressing up for Halloween has no limit. I agree with that.
Yes, absolutely.
That is from Chenty in Napa.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Man, I'm getting cooked here.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's just a little bit too old. Being like a junior in high school, like you've already, you know,
I just think that Styles has made the great point here. This is creating an environment and an activity that kids can do that hopefully isn't going to get them hurt, or, you know, they're not out drinking or doing any tomfoolery.
It's
any
definitely hoopla. Better. Yeah, you're right. It is definitely better. It's what I would personally want my child to be doing instead of partying.
Yes.
But I'm just saying the reality of being in that situation you're just, especially in high school, you're entering high school.
I hear you.
Your main priority is, I'm not trying to get roasted.
I mean, these kids
have been in school for like 3 weeks at this point? What, you start? When do kids start school? When do
I think start they've been school? In for a cool minute.
Oh, really? Okay, I have no idea.
Mid-August,
as you can tell, it's been a while.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're still new. The point is, you're still new to the school, and you're trying to not get labeled as that kid.
The school. What kind of, like, narrative have you created in your mind?
I don't know.
I'm just, y'all remember being a freshman in high school, and you're in a new environment.
Yeah.
You're trying to, you know, put your best foot forward. Mm-hmm. The last thing you want to do is, you know, show up to school with
a little bit of personality, with a little bit of character.
It's not about personality and character. It's about being cool, Simone. Gosh,
Now we're getting to put, you know, one strap or two strap for your backpack, right?
Dude, one strap, bro.
I was a two strapper.
Yeah, I was two strap. Two strap all day. And I like
it's two strap all day.
I squeeze that thing as tight as possible to my back.
Dude. Exactly. Yeah. And did you go through, because I got on the All Real Monsters, which Simone had never heard of, don't understand that. Did you go through the little kid backpack phase? Did you guys have that?
Yes.
I had the Hulk backpack. Yes. I had a Rugrats backpack.
Oof. I had Care the Bears whole thing. For me.
But the thing is, I was like
SpongeBob.
16, 17. Yeah.
No.
Didn't have that one, huh?
No, I had the JanSport.
Yeah, no, me neither. I just
not
a lot
trying
of people.
To stick
no,
out.
I, again, yeah, that's
no,
what I imagined, people. I saw it in high school, but definitely
just,
not me.
I'm
no,
just not trying
mind.
To stick out.
Everybody else was doing it. Michael Baldacci, very active here on the YouTube chat. When is Styles going to stop counting each show? I think we said about seven, maybe.
I think we said seven,
but because of you, tell them what they won, Chris.
You just got 14. We just doubled that thing.
Now we're going up to 15,
all right? Keep playing games.
Exactly. Don't play with us.
Watch what happens. 916-339-1140. Let's go out here
to JR, who wants to talk some Kings.
This is dangerous.
What's up, JR? You're on Styles and Watkins.
Hey, did Simone just drop a tomfoolery?
Yes.
It's my French.
Simone's actually 70 years old.
Yes.
I was going to say, what are we, this show from the 50s? What the hell? Hey, Chris.
Yes.
Hey, Chris, are you going to go as a wet blanket tonight?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's going to be
great. Attaboy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happy birthday,
it's only Tuesday,
old man.
But you know, yeah, we're gonna make it work. Halloween right. special on a wet blanket Tuesday.
I say we count this show all the way up to 100 because I'm loving the show. You two are really good together.
Oh, thank you, Jason. That means a lot.
Good job. And anytime Simone answers the phone when I call, I kind of like, ooh, this is nice. This is a nice answer.
It's a lot better than the lobby answer.
Hey, real quick, did you see Watkins, Curry's throw out of the leg last night?
I did, yes. You mean the trip? Do you mean when he tripped that guy?
Oh, my God. I think I speak for America when I say we are all done with him.
Thank you.
Right. Yes,
did you see
the
Home Alone face and all that, JR? Come on.
Oh, my. Oh, I was there on Friday night. I was there on Friday night, and I just yelled out, CarMax and State Farm suck. You suck. Nobody likes you, Curry.
Wow.
Get off the court, and then he dropped 41 on us. Yeah.
So it's you to blame.
Love the show.
JR, wait. First off, you got to let me know. Oh, he's gone. He's gone. Well, never mind. I want to know what JR's cutoff was for Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure he's got some strong opinion.
No.
JR, you can put it in the chat.
No, you just want to hear because you've been good. You're right today.
Well, I mean, you kept bringing up my Beam Regime won.
Beam Regime did win.
53%.
Beam Regime did win. Okay. All right? And it was so beautiful seeing my first Beam, watching all the members of the Beam Regime
walk out and enjoy. The regimens.
Exactly. All the fruits of the labor. All right? So speaking of the Beam and speaking of the Kings, there are a lot of questions going on about even now, right? And we talked about this when the season started. We're only 3 games in, so we're still talking about it now. And nationally, people are talking about it because De'Aaron Fox has been that dude, because the Kings have been off to a pretty darn good start. And the question remains, do the Kings have enough?
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about winning a title, I still feel like they can be in contention, because truly I don't think any one team, especially in the Western Conference, really like sticks out. Obviously Denver is the team that's at the top, but even them, they've lost some guys and who knows if they'll be. It's so tough to repeat
as
champions.
They're cooking right now.
I mean, you can't play better than what they're playing right now, so it's tough to not have them kind of separated, but they, at the same time, don't feel like an insurmountable mountain that the Kings couldn't climb. I think the Kings, again, have depth working in their favor. They have shooting working in their favor. And they have hunger as well. Like, you know, Denver's already reached that mountaintop. Michael Porter Jr. might not be as willing to work as a teammate as he was last year because, as they like to say, when teams win, the disease of more. Everybody feels like, hey, I played my part in winning that title.
Yeah.
I deserve to have a moment this year because I showed my – it's Jordan Poole syndrome. I showed my worth last year. Now let me cook this year, essentially. And so the Kings obviously don't have that. They're still fighting. No. They're still climbing. Talent-wise, though, it just feels like – again, we talked about the talent in the division specifically. It just feels like there might be a slight top end talent deficiency that they could try and bridge that gap a little bit with. They might not need to get one of those top end guys, but maybe just improving your third or second best player would really go a long way.
Right, and the only reason I think the Denver Nuggets might be safe on the Michael Porter Jr. stuff is because he was terrible in the finals. I mean, he could not shoot the basketball.
Yeah, he was really bad.
He couldn't hit the backside of a barn. Yeah. So I think the Nuggets actually got lucky. If he was cooking like Jordan Poole,
he definitely would have been he would have been prime candidate number one for I'm getting 20.
Exactly. I need to be out. I need to be number one option. And I mean, back in the day, that was another guy. I mean, we talked about overhype last. Michael Porter Jr., because of the injury, he was at Missouri randomly, so I don't even know. But, you know, it's funny that you talk about the making the second player better or the third player better in terms of the weapons that the Kings have, because here is Shams Charania talking about a couple guys that the Kings were interested in during this summer.
I think they are in position. They have a couple tradable contracts. Harrison Barnes, Kevin Herter, these guys are locked in long term. They're in that contract range, 16, 17, 18 plus million, where you can put together contracts for a star. Two guys that they have that they had conversations on over the summer, you know, had varying degrees of interest in OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, both with the Raptors. They really inquired a few times on OG Anunoby. I think that's a guy that they have interest in. Both players are expected to be free agents next next summer. But overall, I do think with tradable contracts, with all their draft assets, this is a team, Sacramento, that is going to have a lot of flexibility moving forward.
Interesting. Mm. Very interesting.
Those names, throwing back in the trade generator once again, just never ends.
Yep. The problem is, Masai is very much like Dave Chappelle with like Oprah Winfrey's money.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, no, mine.
Mine.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not giving it up. I don't know if Masai's been hanging out with the Raiders or something. Man, just cut your losses.
Nah, that's not how he operates. For whatever reason, he's got to win the deal. He sees Daryl Morey win all these deals, and he's like, yeah, if I continue to hold out, eventually someone's going to offer me what I want, what I think is fair value.
You know,
cash grab.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting? I don't think anybody would say that winning a championship is ever a negative. But do you think Masai, because he's got that ring, because of Kawhi and because Kevin Durant was injured and because Klay Thompson also went down, he's thinking he's maybe the smartest person in the room a little bit too much.
Definitely.
Where it's just like, homie, Gene Chizik's got a national championship.
Right, exactly.
Because of Cam Newton.
Yep.
All right.
Things move quick.
Things move quick.
You're top dog until you're not.
Like, so
I think it's kind of passed by him.
Like, maybe just chill out a bit.
Right. Like the Raptors are not in a power play position. Like they're very much a middling team. They don't really know who they are. If they keep Pascal and OG, they're going to keep being like a 7 or an 8 seed, but never better, never worse. And, I mean, I think it's kind of like the Raiders, where it's just like, look, you guys are clearly you lose Fred VanVleet. Kawhi's been long gone. You got Scottie Barnes, who's a good young piece. Lean into the rebuild or lean into the youth movement, if that's what you want to call it. And OG is still young. It just feels like those guys, again, much like the Raiders conversation, you can get so much value for those guys.
Yeah.
It just makes sense to eventually just accept the deal. And it might not be exactly what you want. It might not be three young players and 2 pick swaps or whatever. But whatever it is, it's better than just living in this purgatory of not knowing what you are. And so I would love either of those guys on the Kings. But the big question always becomes, especially when you're dealing with Masai, what would the Kings have to give up? And Keegan Murray is not being involved.
Yeah, Keegan
is
an untouchable. Yeah. He is definitely an untouchable. And we're going to get into other untouchables and who maybe you'd be willing to move off of when we get back. Here's the biggest thing about the Raptors, right? Drake ain't even going to the games no more.
Yeah.
Masai.
No, he's no longer the ambassador.
That's how you know you're messing up. We don't even see Drake. There's no more. When was the last Drake meme at a Raptors game? Like 3 years ago.
Yeah, probably. Probably my Frederico. That's my favorite.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, probably that one.
The one where he's on the phone, where he's looking on the phone. He's like looking up and down, looking up and down. Those are all long gone, Masai. So you lose Drizzy. You lose a 666, then you're not really balling like you used to.
Yeah, I didn't hear a single Raptors reference in this last strikeout.
Wow, that's so true. You
know? And he's supposed to be the ambassador.
You fell off.
Yeah, big time.
You fell off, man. Sometimes you just got to chalk it up, you know, just hang out with Mark Davis. All you guys, just figure it out.
Figure it out, man.
And just chalk it up. And sometimes you just got to, that's a new segment. It's called Just Hold the L.
Yep.
And sometimes you just got to hold the L. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, we are talking about who is untouchable and who you'd be willing to move off of on the Kings. Or do you think the Kings have enough? That's your calls and texts and YouTube chat. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
We're back. Sacktown Sports, 11:33.
I thought you were saying Sacktown Sports 11:30. I was like, 11:40.
No.
It's not that hard.
Guys.
It's all over the place.
No, it is 11:34 right now. Taking you up to 2 p.m. Fourth official show, Halloween special.
Yes, sir.
And it's time. I made everyone wait long enough. We got to do it.
Yep.
Right? It's not in our contracts, but it's in my personal contract. Because this is the fun stuff, and you don't have that many fun days to do fun things.
Yep.
So when you do, you got to take advantage. We are getting to it right now. This could be very, very interesting. We're doing favorite candy and worst candy. Favorite candy, overrated candy. Let us know. 916-339-1140. Hop on the YouTube chat.
I feel like
hop
this is
on the text line. Let's get it going. I really want to know everybody's favorite candy and a candy that you just think, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
are we going now, or do we want to wait for some?
We can
some
go now. They'll start to trickle in, and we'll keep it going throughout the show.
I'd say favorite candy's got to be like Sour Patch Kids are pretty elite.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm gonna go Sour Patch Kids or Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. Like a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup when it hits.
Yeah.
To me, that's like the best Halloween candy you could get would be a Reese's Pieces.
Yeah.
A Reese's Peanut Butter.
And even the wrapping of it reminds you of Halloween because it's orange.
True. Very
true. You
know,
so they do very well with the marketing there. Simone?
I'm with Chris. I'm a big like sours like person, so I'm in there for any sour trolley. Isn't it called trolley, right?
That's like the brand.
Yeah.
Creepy commercials. Yeah. Though.
Really? I've never seen a trolley.
They're creepy.
I don't have either.
They make them like worms with teeth. It's creepy.
Oh, I've definitely never seen any creepy trolley commercials.
Well, I'm in there. I'm in there like swimwear on any sours. Trash candy. I mean, this is like pretty obvious, but candy corn, right? That's going down to the bottom of the trash can.
Yeah. I can't even tell you when the last time I actually had candy corn. I've just avoided it.
How about those pumpkins?
I wouldn't like it.
Those, like, you know, the marshmallow pumpkins? I'm also out on
those.
Don't
think I've gotten those.
I don't want to know what those
are. The Smarties?
Yeah, but, like the hard, like they're just shaped like pumpkins.
Right.
Y'all have never seen those?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
But I'm out.
They're bad. They're not good.
I'm out on them.
They're not good. Exactly. Circus peanuts, you know, but, like those big old circus peanuts. Not a fan of those either.
Well, because, there's your sour candies and then they're your sweet candies. And
there's also like feels like candies that's from like World War One. Like, we probably don't need mounds
like
anymore.
Like Werther's?
Werther's.
Those are not bad, though. They just remind me of my grandma.
Really?
Tons of response going up in the YouTube chat right
Carmelos.
Now.
Carmelos? How are Carmelos?
Carmelos?
I've never had a Carmelo.
You know, so I'm going to go number one for me. It's pretty basic here, but I'm a Snickers guy.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm a Snickers
guy.
Do you
ever freeze them? Do you freeze them?
I don't like that. I like the melty. I actually like them kind of on the verge of being
gotta,
melted.
You string it a little.
You know, so that's up there. Milky Way hangs around for me, but I would go Twix over Milky Way. And specifically the left Twix because I'm left-handed, so I just I just feel that better.
Yeah.
Real quick, even though I just got out here, I did go to the state fair in Sacramento two years ago, and don't tell my doctor, but my go-to food at fairs, a deep-fried Snickers.
Really?
I was going to say the Oreo. Okay.
Yeah, the deep-fried Oreo.
Okay, I got to try the deep-fried Oreo, but the deep-fried Snickers, they get down. Let's see what's coming in over here. Gummy bears. We're getting gummy bears for the top. Snickers favorite. Three Musketeers overrated. I don't know if Three Musketeers is overrated because I don't know anybody that really eats Three Musketeers.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's having Three Musketeers conversations.
Right?
So I can't really.
But it's up there. Let's see
it's
what else
It's definitely not
we got.
Good. I agree with you there. It's definitely not good.
Family Schlegel. Take Fives are my favorite underrated
Take
candy.
Take Fives?
Okay. They said underrated now. They said underrated. Mitch, Shively, Milk Duds.
Oh, no.
Huh.
These are unconventional choices.
Next, we're going to see Junior Mints up here or something.
Yeah, yeah.
No. Almond Joy.
925. What are we doing? Swedish Fish. Best candy for sure. You're into Swedish Fish.
Swedish Fish are like a cousin of Sour Patch Kids.
Okay.
They're like Sour Patch Kids, just red Sour Patch Kids without the sour.
Well,
like
then
the sugar
yesterday things got a little bit dicey right here on these airways because it was Red Vines versus
Twizzlers. Right.
I'm so sorry to interrupt. We do have a little bit of breaking news here. I'm going to turn it down.
Are we sure? We're in an important segment right now.
I know. Looks like Chase Young is being traded to the 49ers.
Yo, a
Likely
little bit.
Likely a mid-round pick in 2024.
Guys,
so.
Guys, we were just talking about candy. And meanwhile, a number two pick in, what was it, last year's draft, 2 years ago?
Chase Young.
The 49ers get maybe one of the best young pass rushers in the NFL, and we're here sitting and talking about candy.
I know. Emile's all over it. He's out of breath back here. He just ran up here to tell us the news, we've got to get to it.
My goodness.
Wow.
Well, how about that? We were just talking with Chris Biederman about, should philosophy-wise, should the 49ers try and lean into strength, or should they try and patchwork some DBs or something like that. And, I mean, they go all in then some by bringing in Chase Young. Again, one of the best young pass rushers that there is in the NFL. And this is, of course, after Washington also shipped off Montez Sweat this morning, who was also, somebody
Caleb Williams, come on down
at.
To Washington.
Definitely. Wow. Looks like Washington's embracing the tank. But
yeah,
way more important side is Chase Young to the San Francisco 49ers. I assume going to be on the opposite side of Nick Bosa.
Yes.
And my goodness, I mean, I don't even know what this means for the league. I mean, I thought it was a big deal when the Niners acquired Randy Gregory. To get Chase Young is
incredible.
Huge credit to John Lynch again, who,
yeah,
you know, is just continuing to keep his foot down on that gas, keeping it on the accelerator, because, you know, they've slipped here. There's no surprise to anybody, or no secret to anybody here that the 49ers have slipped. And he took this opportunity, he ran with it, because getting Chase Young, I don't know if you can do any better than that.
No, you can't. And Jay Glazer, this was per Jay Glazer, that's where it's coming out. That was about 2 minutes ago. So thank you, Emil, for coming up and making sure we got that going as well, because it just broke 2 minutes ago. The Niners agreed to a deal for Chase Young. I don't think that the details are out for what the Niners gave up yet.
Tom Pelissero is saying it's a 2024 third round pick going from the Niners to
that
the Commanders.
That is a finesse.
A highway robbery.
That is the finesse of the century.
Yes. And I would also assume a big part of the reason why maybe the compensation is so low is because someone's going to have to pay Chase Young pretty soon. And
right.
This is where it comes in. The fact that the Niners had just an abundance of cap space.
Yeah.
Again, not going to pretend to be a cap expert at all. I have no idea how the NFL cap functions. But if I had to guess, I would assume that the 49ers would be more than willing to pay Chase Young if they have the funds available.
Yes. Wow.
Wow.
That is something else.
I mean, and this is a move that I would say this is definitely something that when you're talking title odds and stuff, like this improves the 49ers title odds.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know how significantly, but it definitely is taking a pretty major step after this.
Wow. We will have sound. We will have all the details for you. The Niners continue to go, I'm all in. That's what they're doing. They are no longer playing around.
We were just in the middle of a candy conversation.
The candy conversation, well, gotta wait.
I guess.
Okay? Because the Niners said enough is enough. We got a bye week. We got time to get him in the mix. We got time to get this thing right. Less pressure on Brock Purdy.
Wow.
Less pressure on everybody around, because that's what they said. You have a young QB. The rest of the requisite parts, they got to do what they've been paid to do, and they haven't been doing it. You're bringing Chase Young. We're not saying no. We're not going anywhere. Got to get to a break. When we get back, reacting to the Chase Young deal. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
I think I got my swagger back. Oh.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, with some breaking news on this Halloween with Chase Young coming to the Bay, or headed to the Bay. The San Francisco 49ers have to give up a 2024 third-round pick.
Oh, no.
And get Chase Young. They are normally good at third-rounders sometimes, maybe a little later. For Chase Young, who will, as we assume, will be on the opposite side of Nick Bosa, giving quarterbacks nightmares, all the questions about why this defensive line wasn't able to get pressure. Not really sure why, as we talked to Chris Peterman earlier, but it doesn't matter now.
No, it doesn't.
This is what John
really
Lynch and the Niners thought that they needed to do, what they feel like could be the thing that separates them.
It's the McCaffrey move 2.0.
It's the McCaffrey move 2.0. That paid off dividends last season and this season, and now they do it again. The Niners continue to do their best to keep that window open.
Yeah.
What were your initial thoughts, Chris?
I mean, just wow. And again, the 49ers just continue to be incredibly active at the deadline. Let's not forget that they acquired Jimmy Garoppolo in a similar fashion. And then, Christian McCaffrey as well. And now Chase Young on top of that. Again, just one of the best young pass rushers that you can get in the NFL. A guy was drafted just in 2020, the year after Nick Bosa. So you've got possibly two great staples on the defensive line that could potentially be your pass rush for the next 5 to 7 years. Like, who knows how much longer or when they're going to try and extend Chase Young. Mm-hmm. But the big thing for him is going to be health. I was looking at his Football Reference, and, you know, his rookie season, he played 15 games, which is great. Got AP Defensive Rookie of the Year. Phenomenal. But in the two seasons before this one, 9 games in 2021, 3 games in 2022, only playing 12 games in 2 years after a great rookie season is probably – you know, why Washington was so willing to move on from this. But of course, he's played in just about every game this year and you know, seems to be healthy. 5 sacks so far this season, on pace to be a career high for him. It's the rich getting richer. It's the same exact thing I felt when they got Randy Gregory, except this is like 4 times better than Randy. It's like getting a young guy who's still in the peak of his power, who still has tons of miles left on him as well, and just is an absolute athletic freak. Like, there was talk that he should have been the number one pick in that draft.
Yeah. And 916-339-1140, if you want to be a part of the conversation, you know, for whatever has been said about Steve Wilks and this defense, one thing that I don't really – prescribe all the time to the everything happens for a reason, but there are certain things that happen for a reason, just in my humble opinion. And with the Niners scuffling the way that they have, this could have just been a rough patch for them.
Right.
They could have figured it out, but the Niners aren't leaving it to chance. So it's almost as if, did you sacrifice these 3 losses to now make yourselves even better? Because if they had, maybe they win 1 game and lose 2. Maybe they feel, oh, I think we're fine. But losing 3 the way that they did, we have to make a change. Now, we see you beaming on the YouTube chat. I'm certainly not going to complain about the 49ers getting Chase Young, but I feel like the secondary or the right side of our line should be a bigger priority.
Agreed.
Oh, well. And that is a great call. Like we said, 916-339-1140. Your initial thoughts to the move. The other part of this is, look, that third rounder, the Niners, they're still trying to get back from everything with Trey Lance and all the different moves that they've made with picks and things like that. You give up a third rounder for somebody, like you said, Chris, before the break, that's going to be a free agent. So are you planning, if he plays well, are you planning on signing him? We're not capologists. We'll get a capologist on later in the week to figure out how they're going to pull this off, because something's got to give here.
Something has to give. Yeah, I don't know if they've got to clear somebody else out or if they just have. I know they had $41 million in cap space that they were planning to push on to next year. I don't know if they can. Again, no idea how the NFL cap works, so I'm not even going to try and go into it. But, yeah, I mean, it definitely makes you wonder, like, is this a move that's thought of with long-term implications, or is this just a move where, again, the Niners see this quote-unquote championship window and they're just trying to maximize the window as much as possible, where, you know, I think if I'm not mistaken, then Young would have this and next year still left on his deal if he was a year after Bosa. So who knows? I mean, this could still be the Niners just seeing an asset out there, going to get that distressed asset. And, you know, if they don't, for whatever reason, if it doesn't work out this year, maybe they can just, you know, look to move off of him next year and pass the bill to somebody else. But I think it's a great move, but I also definitely agree with Beeman in the chat when he says, you know, I personally would have probably addressed some other things, because though you are bolstering a major strength here, I don't know how much better. I mean, they're clearly going to be a lot more dangerous on the on the defensive line, but I still think, you know, the right side of the line, and even you can argue the left side possibly, I feel like the line and the DB room is the place where the Niners really could have taken another step up, and they still can. There's still, what do we have, another hour.
We got another hour
until the deadline's over.
If you're just now tuning in, if you're driving around in your Halloween costume, the 49ers have traded for Chase Young to bolster up that pass rush. They had to give up a third-round pick in 2024, but they are continuing to go all in. 916-339-1140. Got a little bit of time, about a minute left before break. Let's go to Mitch, who wants to talk Niners. What's up, Mitch? You are on Styles and Watkins.
How we doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Hey, by the way, my favorite treat, but it's a little expensive, the Malamars. I don't know if you're familiar with the Malamars out there.
Okay.
They're the best. It's a great trade. Third round, I know whenever to make up for Trey Lance. And I still think one more goof, and I think Sam Darnold we'll have a whole nice competition like Steve Brody and Steve Spurrier. I know I'm older than you guys. Good trade. I guess Greg's going to give us time, and I guess this spells the end of Drake Jackson. I'm a fan of Drake. He had 3 sacks game one, I believe, right? What's happened to Drake Jackson? Is he still on the team?
Yeah.
Anyway, I've given you a lot. Oh, he is? Great. Yes, thanks, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the call, Mitch. Yeah, appreciate I mean, for now he is. And Drake Jackson, man, we keep talking about, oh, I thought this guy was going to be a guy. He was one of my picks, and I think a hopeful pick for Niner fans to kind of show up this year. He did some really nice things in the preseason.
Week one, even. He had 3 sacks, didn't he, in week one?
Yeah, that's what Mitch just said as well. And something weird has happened. What this tells me as well is something – I don't know how much heat it takes off Steve Wilks, but it takes some.
Sure.
Because that tells me that they believe that something was wrong, not just with the schemes.
Sure.
If it was just schemes, then I don't think they would have necessarily made this move. But the personnel was just wasn't right.
Right.
Or they just we're just going to bolster it up because we got to fight through what Steve Wilks is doing.
Yeah,
one of the two.
I think it definitely puts more pressure on Steve Wilks
Without
to make
doubt.
It work out because now, again, kind of much like the offense, it's like, well, what's your excuse? Because you have the talent and it can't all be on the talent either. Like, you know, I know Warner said, you know, we're the ones out there making tackles, but at some point it's like, okay, but anybody with the talent that you have should at least be able to have some baseline of good defense. And, you know, the Niners still are a good defense, but it's just we haven't seen them be an elite defense like they've been in the past. And this definitely should help them out there. I mean, I'm looking here, and it says this year, this is from David Lombardi of The Athletic, Chase Young will only cost the Niners this season $561,000.
Wow.
I have no idea how that works. Again, no cap expert. Don't pretend to be. Don't even want to be. But it's much like the Randy Gregory thing where the Niners aren't even necessarily going to be paying for this year.
Yeah.
Like Gregory, I think, is being paid almost completely by the Broncos. And I don't know what the situation is with Chase Young's money, but apparently the Niners aren't going to be paying him either. So this could be just another really, really savvy move. And, you know, I'm also seeing a tweet here. The Niners have gotten Trent Williams from Washington for a 5th-round pick and now Chase Young from Washington for a 3rd-round pick.
Like, wow.
What relationship does John Lynch have there?
Well, I think it might be Kyle, too. Hey, Kyle.
Right, exactly.
We know we got a connection here, so we'll hook you up. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, still reacting to the Niners. What do you think? More of your calls, more of your texts, more of your chat. Any excuse if the Niners don't get it done this season? Is there any excuse? Because they're going all in. But at some point, you got to cash in. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.